successful individuals with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. Rick Hammerly standing by. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. For you. Are you home or are you at the track?
I'm home. I made a decision, I don't know, at about 5 a.m. I said, with this pick six carryover, I think I'm asking for trouble if I want to get this done right and schlep over to the track. So I dug the heels in, staying home, stayed home.
They had the sound of that in-home studio,
yes.
Sound.
Exactly.
There you are. Well, we are checking in from Del Mar this week. Just wrapping up a couple-day trip. Gene and I came down. Actually, a few trainers have been bugging me, do you have any more Kentucky Downs books? And I said, you know what, that's a reason enough to come down for a couple days. So nice little midweek trip, and kids are back in school, so everything's kind of milled out a little bit. So it's been kind of nice making it around town. But I tell you what I noticed here at the halfway point of the Del Mar meet, you know, everything's been going really good. Usually about this time, as you walk around, you kind of sense people, you know, I'm kind of ready to get back home, and you just get that feel. I didn't get that feel this time. The meet is continuing on, kind of enthusiasm seems to still be there, which is kind of good. And you know, once you're down here, you really, if you're spending a lot of time, this really is a special place. So kind of neat. Once again, you know, Saratoga is great, and so is Del Mar. So if you haven't been, I say that about Saratoga, but I got to say that about Del Mar since I'm here. You came last year. You got a little taste of it. It's just a different spot than you've ever been. You know, when you're overdressed when you wear shorts and a polo shirt to the track, then it's just kind of that atmosphere. But right to the races, yeah. Yesterday, and but halfway through, so I can update everybody on some of the standings and what's kind of happened that's told the story already. For the jocks, Juan Hernandez is actually running away with the title. He's doubled his nearest rider. He's got 30 wins in Rispoli with 15. Ramon Vasquez, who's running his first full season at Del Mar, has got 12, as Joe Bravo. So two, you know, invaders, so to speak, from the last couple of years, hanging in there doing real well, third and fourth. Hector Barrios, new on the scene, and Edwin Maldonado hanging in there with 8. So those are the top riders. Baffert leads the trainers on his first full season in a few months, but down here. But this is a lot closer. Baffert has 11. He had a win yesterday. Phil D'Amato has 10. He had a win yesterday. Peter Miller has 10. He had a win yesterday. Doug O'Neill with 10, and George Papaperdromo with 9, and Mark Latt with 8. So those are the jocks and the trainers and the owner standings. We always like to list the owners. Pegram, Watson, and Whiteman lead with five, which is not really a surprise with Baffert leading the trainer ranks. CRK Stable with four, and our friends at Hieronis Racing with three, and Red Baron Stable with three. So, you know, not too surprising, but that's what's hanging in here. And, you know, the guys that do well early will continue on and do well late. And Scully mentioned a couple things there from Del Mar about some of the outside posts on the turf doing better. And that's exactly true. Scott Shapiro, he and I had a mini conversation on, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, and I had asked about the inside post positions for the turf sprint, which was last year was 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and he correctly told me that, you know, it's not quite that way this year, and that's a fact. So don't be afraid to bet some of the outside posts in the turf sprints either. Ran into a handicapper I know well on the beach the other day, and I asked him if he had anything for me. He said yes. So the first half of the meet, the inside has generally not been the place to be. And if you had anybody that, you know, ran decent on the inside to switch into an outside post, especially in the sprints, to give it a second look. So locally at Del Mar, that's what we picked up on, and got lucky yesterday. One of my guys, Louis Mendez, came through for us for the day and made it a winning one. And Gina, of course, gives her little 2-3 version of reading the form before every race. I think she picked five winners yesterday. So we had a good day at the track. It was very good.
It's funny. Hadn't thought about it until you just said it. But we actually here we've had a similar. We faced a similar scenario, which was the inside not being the place to be for a good portion. You know, kind of deadish and a little heavier. I mean, the track overall had been heavier. And Andy and I kicked this around the other day, but and he didn't totally agree. He said he understood the, you know, why that might be the case, but it sure seems like the track tightened up on you know, the inside pads here over the last week. So we have a similar case.
Well, that's it. You know, it's not odd, obviously, for historically for an inside anywhere, just to not be good, but it's nice to see, you know, an adjustment or whatever. And then, you know, they said the track was deep back there. When I was there, I didn't pick up on it that much. Anyway, it's good to check off the Saratoga Del Mar double again. It's just you know, lucky enough to be able to maneuver around. And as I look at the calendar here, right before we came on, we're going to go home, and I got 3 or 4 days to pack, and then we're headed to Kentucky Downs, which all of a sudden is upon us. You know, stakes big start time. Closing on Monday, and we take entries a week from tomorrow for opening day there. And so a lot of interest this year, and I think we're going to have, you know, I think we averaged, I don't know, over 10 last year in the horses per race, which is, you know, it's amazing. But last year, remember, Churchill wasn't open. They were closed. So a lot of the local traders like to use Churchill as a base to stable and then ship down in and out. As you know, at Kentucky Downs, for the most part, you ship in, you run, and nice to have you, but you got to leave because we got the next day coming in, next day load of horses. So having Churchill back up, have their stable area open, well, I think will help us even better. And so that'll be good. And then, you know, moving on, see, I talked about it last week. I've decided not to return to Oaklawn this year for the meet. You know, kind of a decision discussed at home. And 5.5 months or 5+ months is a long time to be away, you know, at this point. And so we're not going to be headed back to Oakland. So we'll become a free agent again and move on from there. Enjoyed the 3 years there for sure, getting to know people and the city and the racing there and everything else. But just decided that I spent enough time on the road to be away. So
I hear you. Anyway. It takes a toll at a certain point, no doubt.
Yeah, so like I said, the 3 months was good, but, you know, they extended the meet, and it's worked out for them. And, you know, talking about early December to, you know, the first week in May, that's a long time.
That's long. Yeah, you're right. That is long. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was a holiday. Anyway, I just wanted to, I was talking about it. We made the decision. You know, I gave them a call last week and wanted to give them plenty of time to let them know. We'll move on from there. But otherwise, I mean, everything's good. And you know, looking forward to seeing you again at Kentucky Downs for a good long stint. And that's, I ran into Andy Biancone yesterday on the way out of the track, and she had her TVG microphone, and I go, Andy? And she goes, yeah. I go, you remember, oh, yeah. 'Cause remember we had her on Kentucky Down. And, I mean, you could tell right there after having her, I think we're going to have her on for 5 minutes, and she ended up spending an hour with us, but she was just, she's here obviously with her dad, has a few horses here, and she's doing some training in the morning, and then, you know, doing her TVG work in the afternoon. But, you know, just her bright face again, and we could tell right there that she definitely has a future on the racetrack, but I think she's got a nice future off the racetrack too. And anyone that's seen her work with TVG, it's just kind of, I hadn't seen her since then, so she was, it was fun to, you know, touch base with her a little bit. And I asked her if she was going to come to Kentucky Downs, and she said, I don't know, but I know her dad's sending five horses there too, so we'll see.
Oh, wow.
We'll see one of them there for sure. But
it's coming up, Hammer, in every conversation. You know, we had Al Stahl this week after Delica wins the Beverly D, and we turned our attention with a couple of other runners, including in Hidden Spirits, the famous last second van ride winner that we all got fat on.
That's true. And Lee's horse who won the other day, I'm going, man, because we're hoping obviously to get him back. Casa Creed, we're talking about, of course, who got his second grade one, this one going a mile, and now I'm going, oh man, maybe he's getting too big to come back and see us at Kentucky Downs. But I'm hoping we'll see him back in that, well, either one, it could be the sprint or the mile now. But it's a lot of horses asking, a lot of questions, and literally that's why I came back down here, just to answer some questions about some races, and when do we have to get the papers in for a zero date, and stake noms, and don't let us forget. And so, you know, trainers are I don't know, I guess maybe they're more like human nature, but as far as like stake nominations go, historically, you know, like if they close on August 22nd, and you know you're going to nominate, you know, very few just say, here, put the horse in. And, you know, you got to wait until the day before the day of to nominate the horse. And it's been that way for forever. I don't know what it is. Why don't just put them in and get it off the chest and not worrying about it. But, you know, and then the press group at the track and the market, who's in there? I don't know. Well, I heard this, I heard that. Well, you can't say anything until they're in, and then the last day, here they all come flooding in, and so it's funny. So we'll have, like I said, the first round of nominations on the 22nd and the second on the 24th, and getting anxious to make another cross-country run as we do that. And I want to mention a couple things tomorrow here at Del Mar. We had the Del Mar Oaks, which is a really good race, but there were a few races back in the fifth race in that made the special race, making his debut after that $3.5 million purchase at Bernardini Colt. Hejazi, I just looked, he's 6-5 in a program with Mike Smith, with the Medina Spirit connections. And so fresh off of 59 flat out of the gate, and I know Gary Young purchased this cold. We had dinner with him the other night, and he's obviously waiting this run. He was very happy to see the race go. Got the three hole, and obviously breaks well. He's just horseman trained fantastic. So that's not often you get to see one of those debut. And then you mentioned earlier the Oaks, the Del Mar Oaks, which is a grade one for 3-year-old fillies, going a mile and eighth on the turf with a full batch. And this is what you like to see with the grade one races. It's nice to see those nice horses, but it's also nice to see nice horses with 14 of them. And mostly a local affair. A lot of these have taken turns beating each other. Gully mentioned Spenderella, who's coming off that coronation, second place over at Ascot. That's a lot of travel back and forth, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes with Graham. You know, the horse in here that I just looked, unfortunately, is a morning line favorite, Cairo Memories. And, you know, way back on his Breeders' Cup run, he had run the Surfer Girl race and won at Santa Anita as the prep for the Breeders' Cup. And going into that Breeders' Cup, a super handicapper and friends of mine that I know said, hey, you got this horse is live in the Breeders' Cup fillies. You really got to look at her. And, of course, that wasn't going to happen with Pizza Bianca in there. But I did watch her during the race. She got beat two lengths in that race. And since then, she's really has shown her stuff. I think the mile and eighth is good. I mean, she's 3-1 in the program. I don't think she's going to drift much lower than that. I think she's going to be in the exacta, at least definitely the trifecta. And with Phil D'Amato overloaded with turf horses, he's got four in there. And the one with the biggest odds, Island of Love, I kind of like with the leading rider, Hernandez on there. She's done enough amongst these to have her presence felt, and she's 12-1 in the program. So those are the two I'm zeroing in on. John Sadler has an import and first time starter. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce this one. I actually spent 5 minutes. TXOPE, Toxpe. I'll go with that. But and those are the three that I look at. But the racing continues to stay good here, as does the weather and the waves. So all good on the Western Front.
No, no doubt. And looking forward really to that Oaks. A lot of fun. The stake today, by the way, is the CTT TOC, Sunday, the Solana Beach on Sunday.
Right. And which is actually where I am right now, Solana Beach. That's the town directly north of Del Mar. Solana Beach, Del Mar, Solana Beach, Cardiff, Encinitas. That's where you want to come if you come down here, those four little towns. North County, as it's known as.
Oh, and the week we had, almost a week last year, really, really fun. I really had not had a chance to do that. You know, even all the times I've had gone to the area over the years. So it was really everything that you sort of expect and anticipate and hear about. I still got some dining to do though. Hammer next pass through the Red Tractans stuff and now that I've gotten to know Bill Strauss a little bit more, I got to get to the Moose, to the Pamplemousse.
Well, there's plenty of So we did an oldie and a newie. The 2 nights ago, we went to the Red Tractans and had to go there with Gary and Janine and other old friends for a while, and then last night. Went to a new spot, new that I never heard of and knew being there. It was close to the track, Viewpoint Brewery. And it's just as you're leaving the track, heading into town, Del Mar town, you make a little left there. It's on a little lagoon. And it's only 3-4 years old. And it was great. I mean, it's not, fine dining by any means. It has a lot of the craft. They make their own beer there. But the view is nice, and it was a great after the races place. Went there with with David Jerkins and Courtney, and that was a new experience. So that was a good spot. But there's a ton of places. So we come back, we'll start checking off that list. So don't worry about it. We might even have to venture south into San Diego in the Gaslight District and hit a couple of those restaurants. But not without places to eat here for sure.
Well, and I haven't been downtown San Diego in 100 years. We used to go to and I think it's still around, Rainwaters. Right?
That doesn't ring a bell, but that doesn't mean it's not here. Right. For sure. But no, lots of new spots. And old.
Well, we'll be back. We'll get back. Hammer, appreciate you letting us know about the Oaklawn situation, and certainly, boy, yep. I'm good. I don't know what am I going to do this winter when I go without you there.
Freeze.
Stop.
Well, who knows? Maybe I'll make a trip back for that, but who knows? You never know.
All right.
Sometimes
it's
fun flying that way, but it's all good.
It was fun. It was good. The 3 years, it was three fun. We had three fun winters. I mean, especially last year because of all the time that I got to spend. I mean, the December part, and then the 2 weeks around HBPA.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So it's been great. So, but. We will meet at many more places, I'm sure, starting with Franklin, Kentucky. So, anyway, see you all at the races, and we'll talk next week from Franklin, Kentucky.
And then I'll be there with you 2 weeks later. Excellent. Away they go, everybody. Rick Hammerly, and back down at Del Mar. All right, we're coming up toward the bottom of the hour, and we're gonna go to Grantsville, PA. And talk to Eric Johnston. It is the 50th anniversary of Penn National, and they've got four stakes tonight. And haven't talked to Eric in a while. Always nice to talk to Big E, as he's widely known. So we'll get Eric in here. All right. While we do that, let me see what else I can cross off the list. Well, and of course, the Alabama, in terms of TV tomorrow, not going to want to miss the opportunity. If you can't be here, Saratoga Live tomorrow with everybody, with the whole team, bringing you trackside action, paddock action, the analysis, and more. Nest, the feature. I don't mention it enough, but the Naira Betts deposit match you got. You hear the ad. Use my name, Steve200, to sign up. Especially if you're a New Yorker, and you're support the, or you don't have to live in New York, but if you, have Naira Betts in your area, and you've got any horse ownership ties, it makes perfect sense, because of course there's a higher percentage of the take goes into purses and into the racing, so little extra added motivation as well. So tomorrow, $300 Saturday contest as well, and then Sunday, don't forget, you've got the low roller as well. And since we're doing this kind of thing, some reads. Let me also remind everybody about what's going on at GMP Farm right in Schuylerville, just outside of Saratoga, 15 minutes away. And as a rehab facility, everybody that's gone out there has been blown away at what Anthony and Gary Gullo and manager Steve Rydowski, everything that they've put into the sort of reborn farm and reinvented. And that includes resurfacing of the training track. There's the hyperbaric chamber that actually is in the process right now of being installed. The cold water therapy unit which is outstanding for, I mean, any number of things. Everything involving, you know, horse rehab has to do with circulation, obviously, with blood circulation and healing in inflamed areas. The PEMF, the pulse electromagnetic field therapy, and cryotherapy, and on it. Every modern conceivable treatment and therapy available. Dry salt therapy and the treadmill and the underwater treadmill, you know, for minimum wear and tear resistance and getting horses back and easing them back into training. There's the brand new barns, just amazing what they've done out there. And if you want to get a hold of Steve or Gary Gullo, I mean, you can say hi to Gary at the track, go up to him and tell him you want to come see the farm. But it is literally instantly the top rehab facility in the Northeast. GMP Farm. GMP Farm. And there's going to be a human spa opening this fall as well. But our first order of business is the equine portion of the spa. Eric Johnson's waiting for us, and this kind of snuck up on us. It's the 50th anniversary of Penn National. There's a nice stakes card tonight, and any reason's a good reason to call Big E. Eric, how are you?
I am well, sir. How about yourself? Been a long time.
Oh, great. Yeah, I know, and this is, you know, this was alerted. I should have brought it up with Todd Bostoller, who's been at Saratoga all week. He's running a horse every single day, it seems. But I thought that this would be a great opportunity to kind of celebrate what's gone on at Penn National. And you got a nice card. Give us an update and what's in store for visitors tonight.
All kinds of fun stuff happen tonight. Gates open up at 5 o'clock, and the first 500 through the gates get a free hat, a commemorative hat for the 50th anniversary. We'll have food and beverage specials, 50-cent hot dogs, dollar soft drinks, and $2 alcoholic beverages. So come on out. You can certainly, for a little bit of change like it was in the 70s, you can get a heck of a meal for the family and keep it cheap. And then we got the great racing going on, so it's just going to be a lot of fun. We got the four stakes. We have some special presentations that we're going to do through the course of the night. After the sixth race, we're going to have a big group picture, we hope. We invited everybody that participated during the 70s here at Penn National to come out and get in the winner's circle and take a picture with the group, and hopefully we can identify some of those that are in there, and you know, some that are still active and some that we haven't seen in a while. Big reunion.
Oh, that's very cool. And I, you know, I mean, you weren't, obviously you weren't there and at the time, but
Well, I'm going to show my age. I was actually here on opening day.
Were you really?
Yeah. I was 8 years old, so it was legit. But I was here. I grew up about 3 miles from here, so I was here on opening day, and then I started, you know, 15 years later or whatever the heck it was in the early 80s. So been around for a while.
Oh, that is amazing, actually. I didn't realize that you had that. You know, that you were a part
of
this.
You can say it, but you didn't realize I was that old.
Well, you're still younger than me.
I'm good for my age. What can I say?
No doubt. This, you know, then give everybody, you know, if people have a certain perception, Eric, that's very unfair about the racing and the history. There's actually a very interesting history to Penn National, and the gaming, the contest world as we know it, NHC and the BCBC, all of the gaming, all of the contest that we, you know, that everybody participates in now, got its start at Penn National.
That is correct. In 1976, they came up with the idea of the World Series of Handicapping, and that is still a trademark name and registered trademark that we own. Believe me, there's some casino companies out there that have World Series type issues that have been after that name for years, and we will not relinquish it, and we still continue to do it. We haven't done it since before COVID, but that started in 76. It was the first handicapping contest in the country. And if I remember correctly, back in those days, the original purse was like $25,000, and it drew people from all over. Andy Beyer and others played in that contest. So it was very well received, and it just set the tone for things to come in the future. Of course, now everybody's, you know, they want to sit at home and play online and do a lot of fun stuff that way. But, you know, it all started right here back in the early or the mid-70s, and it's been going strong ever since. And, you know, you talk about the history of Penn National. And I always refer to Penn National for those that have never been here. We have a beautiful mountain in the backdrop here. So I always tell people it's kind of like being in Santa Anita without the smog.
You're taking some. Taking
if you have been here, you also see the A-10 Warthogs flying over the mountain at times too.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. But
in terms of the horsemen, and when you talk about that community, give us a little glimpse into who might be around tonight for this.
You're going to see Bruce Kravitz, who is, if I'm not mistaken, he is the 18th or 19th on the all-time leading trainers with over 3,700 wins. He's been here since the late 70s. Bob Wolf, John Waynes, we got a lot of riders that are going to be coming out tonight. Hopefully Claudio Valerie, who rode here on opening day, and Arnie Alescu, who is still the leading rider all-time here. I'm hoping he comes out tonight. He was here a little bit earlier. Wasn't sure he had some other engagements, but he's going to try and make it. So there's going to be some great opportunities to get together, and you know they're going to be available. They're going to be on the apron, and you can sit back and catch up to them and reminisce, and hopefully just have a good old time in the Pennsylvania sunshine.
The action starts at 6 o'clock. The stakes sequence is the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, $450,000 stakes. And I tell you, in terms of field size, Eric, we should really just talk a minute about how the season has gone. And this is a very handsome sequence, 10 by 10 by 8 by 10 in the stakes. Yep. There's a early pick four actually starts with a claimer. There's 10 in the first, but for people that are looking for field size, you certainly have been getting it consistently. There is a late pick five that starts with the ladies dash. The 4th and 5th are two of the stakes, and then a starter allowance, a non-winner's a two claimer, and then a second level allowance for 62.5. There's plenty of bettable sequence here.
Yeah, the card tonight is outstanding, and we really appreciate it. And one of the things we did with the stakes, if you read the headings on them and the actual conditions of the stakes, we geared those for the guys that have run with us all year long. I mean, it's tough to go back and say, hey, we're going to do this. But we took them, and we didn't go for $100,000 trying to get people coming in from out of town. So we put the requirement on that the horses have not won a stakes this year, and they have started at Penn National. So we're rewarding the people that have supported us for a long time and have been here all summer long and all winter long even. So give them an opportunity to run for a little bit better purse. And I was really impressed. I thought we'd get some decent numbers, but they're competitive. They're really competitive races. There's some good allowance horses in there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great challenge to handicap. And like you said, you got 3 10-horse fields starting off the pick four. I mean, how much harder can you get than that? So it should be a nice payoff on that.
Very nice. The conditions, as Eric mentioned, the Fort Indian Town Gap, fillies and mares, they're going 1 1/16 on the grass. And Mark Salvaggio's got the favorite. Looks like Clayton's Candy. And Tim Woolley. How about that? Tim Woolley from Limited Starters is having a terrific year.
Yeah, no, he's been he's been successful here. You know, he's got 10 starters here and 3 wins out of that 10, plus whatever else he's running around the countryside. So, yeah, no, he's been very successful. And he's been a strong supporter of the program here for the last couple of years.
You know, and just entries as a whole over the last, this year has been really solid. I was very concerned going into the summer when Delaware and Monmouth and everybody else opened up. And I'm not saying we didn't have some days to struggle, but as a whole, the entries have held up very well. The cards have held up pretty decent. We've had some off-weather days, and, you know, you take your licks where you do. But as a whole, I'm very happy with the way the program's going this year. And the betting public's showing it, too, that they appreciate what's going on. We're seeing much better numbers on the export handle right now than we've had in a long time since pre-COVID dates. So we're happy with the way everything's going, and we're looking forward to another solid 50 years.
Well, just noticing, too, in that first leg or the first stake of the evening, one of my favorites for interesting, for a personal reason, Trolley Ride shows up in this stake for Bernie Houghton. And this veteran mare, who is just under 400,000 in earnings, she's a 10-time winner, the 7-year-old, by Flashy Bull, who got discussed this week with Kieran McLaughlin, but out of a jumpstart mare, Eric, named Proudly Irish, that Chuck Simon and I claimed, and we claimed her closing day at Churchill, and I think for $5,000, and Chuck was moving to Parks, and so we brought her to Parks, and she got claimed in her first start for us. So she ran once for us in our colors, and I hadn't thought about her. You know, when that happens, you know, you just sort of, you know, there's certain horses you kind of forget about a little bit. And then all of a sudden, when Trolley Ride's career, when she started to get good, I looked down one day, and I called Chuck. I said, Chuck, this, look at this, Trolley Ride out of Proudly Irish. And we got the biggest kick out of it, that she would throw a horse like this. I mean, she was a nickel claimer at the end anyway, and she's got this $400,000 winner.
Yeah, you know, and that's a tribute to when you're talking about that. Here's a Pennsylvania bred out of a nickel mare, and it just shows you the strength of the Pennsylvania bred program. I mean, the money's there, and it keeps getting better and better horses. You know, you look at the Prince of Selmars and those types, but these kind of horses, these hard knockers that run and continue running year after year, is just, it's the lifeblood of Penn National and Parks and even Presque Isle to an extent. But it's just a testament to what's going on in the state, and that, you know, maybe not necessarily everything that you read in the press is 100%. I'm not going to say it's not accurate, but it's not a good depiction of what's really happening here.
Well, it's happening tonight. It's the 50th anniversary of Penn National. And, Eric, I appreciate the opportunity to fly the flag and celebrate it. And we'll be watching later tonight. When things kick off, 6 o'clock, and the ceremonies will take place. I'm sure there'll be all kinds of things on the feed, and it should be a terrific evening. So thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you for having me on, and you have to come on down someday. It's been a while.
It's been a while is right, and I've got to figure out a way. You know, let's be honest. You got to drive there. You got to make a special effort to get to Grantville. I got to figure out a way I'm either on my way or on my way back someplace.
There you go. Well, plan your vacation next year to be here the first week of June for the Penn Mile, and
that's,
you'll have
a
grand time, I promise.
That's not that could be possible, and then. Because it's the week before Belmont starts, so
correct.
there might be a way to pull that off. Actually, all right, you got me. I'll come do the Friday show and before the Penn Mile. We're putting it on the agenda.
We'd love to have you. All right,
love it. Thanks a lot.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
Not at all. The Big E, Eric Johnston, and Penn National's 50th anniversary. It's pretty amazing. And, of course, you know, the outgrowth that we talk about, the contest world, and you know, the old school contest players, most notably, if we sat Chick down with Chick Matisse and Andy and you know, the guys that were there at the start, as Eric referenced, you know, that is, you know, there's so many things. It's funny that this comes up. Popo next. Case. there's so many things in the sport that grew out of places you wouldn't, you know, that you just, you know, that are, in a lot of cases now, they're gone. Bay Meadows, in particular. And, well, even, well, the pick six, Agua Caliente. And, but Bay Meadows had many distinctions. And I, what, the first use of the gate? You know, all the firsts that you think of, or you know, wagering innovations. A lot of places they came. A lot of times things, you know, came out of offbeat locations because you know, well, Bay Meadows was a absolute, you know, just a crowning, like a crown jewel, really. Of Northern California racing. It's nice to have Golden Gate, but Bay Meadows was the, you know, was the A racetrack in SF. I'm trying to think. I know I've got either a book of firsts or something. I'll look for that. I got to find that has all or I collated them at some point. You know, a lot of those kinds of things. All right, let's do this. Casey's trying to reach Popo, and he didn't tell me. Usually he tells me if there's a problem, Case. So in the meantime, let's take a look at this pick six. And I'm just in the process, actually, of posting the way in which we approach this. So let's discuss for a minute or two. Let me just put a little Saratoga. Do I have I don't have a carryover logo. Okay. Case, Papo says his phone did not ring. Okay. So, try that again. The scratch in the fifth is a big, big problem. Perfect Silent Cat, who I, you know, 2 hours ago I said, here's a horse that we might have to lean on. How often does this happen, right? End up, you know, having one like this scratched. Well, you're going to have to look elsewhere for any help. On the, you know, going narrow. So here's the way I had to go a little deeper in that first leg now. In fact, I got a 15-1 shot, that Inspiration Point, that I thought had a look. If I had, you know, if we had had Perfect Silent Cat in the race, we would have singled. But instead, we're looking at, you know, at least a couple. There's Inspiration Point, Joey Loose Lips, but Hang Tight, another 15-1 shot, and Nicholas James on the rail. So for austerity purposes, I went with Joey Loose Lips and Inspiration Point to get the thing started. You know, in the sixth, in that state bred maiden group of 2-year-olds, Bill Parcells has got another shot at a winner. He had, of course, the maiden winner a couple of weeks ago with Jeremiah Engelhart. This is Let's Go Big Blue, the George Weaver's training, and third choice at the very least. Yeah. 3-1, Secretary of War, the Jonathan Thomas, second timer, and Provision, also George, 5-2. But Let's Go Big Blue has worked sharply, and I think has got to be used. So I went 2-6-9 in that second leg. We talked earlier about Freedom Speaks with James, and what happened here, there was also a scratch, I told you, of A Little Faith, the 8. And so I'm going to use Freedom Speaks and Osaria, the Clement on the outside with Rosario, 1 and 10. But hey, Tuscan Queen, nothing wrong with Tuscan Queen, and I'm leaving crowding out the Chad Brown runner, leaving them off. Have them on a backup ticket, but not on the A ticket. The Summer Colony is, I think, is a problem. Both of the stakes are problems. And you're going to have to be very clever. I'm anxious to hear what Popo says. I haven't looked at the form to win cut yet. But I put Misty Vale on top. I think she can absolutely take him around for Amos. She's a little dirtied up, 10-1. And Bonnie South, I'm using Will Schwartz, leader of the band. That race two back, I mean, she wasn't going to beat Search Results in the Molly Pitcher, but the race two back can win this. So I went 3D, 2-4-7. I also think Gary's and Louis Laz are going to run well with Exotic West. I don't know if she can. I don't know if she can win, but I think, you know, she's eligible for a board hit. But the win candidates for me, I'm going to, if En Voutant wins, God bless her. Shug's Horse is fine. Nothing wrong with First to Act. Nothing wrong with Army Wife. It's a very good group. And then Diva Reddy, we are going to lean on Diva Reddy as the lone A, and Judge Judith, though, as a backup lone C. And then in the nightcap, Cadillac Candy, 15-1. The Rusty Arnold I told you about. And No Nay Hudson, and a praise from Chad. So 4, 8, 10. It's a $108 ticket. The all A ticket would be 24. 2x2x2x1x1x3. So it's up at the website now, and I'll send out the link to it shortly. Right now, let me say hi to Popo, who's with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. We go back to the other day, and that was a tough sequence, and we really couldn't, you know, we really didn't get a lot of help, frankly. So let's try again. I don't know if you did any cutouts today for this sequence, but you know, certainly you've got a big weekend ahead.
Yeah, I looked at the I did the whole card at Saratoga, but the stakes race in particular, starting with the race 8, the Summer Colony. Bonnie South, you know, looks like a legitimate horse, but I was interested in the 5-horse First to Act, and also the 4-horse Leader of the Band, who absolutely fit on form to win. So that's a tougher race than most people are expecting. And Uvutante was pushed down. She wasn't in the top four on No Matter How I Ran It. So of course, you know, I think that's going off her last race, which was a while back, but she's beatable, absolutely beatable today, and I'm not sure I would use her at all.
I'm leaving her off. I mean, she wins. It's one of those, you know, I don't use that term too often. You know, if they win, I lose. But it's too deep, and I mean, and you're not in a position with this sequence. I mean, there will be people that will hit the all button. I think I won't be surprised. But I mean, I'm picking one of the longest shots on the board, Misty Vale. So that tells you what I think.
Right. And then continuing on to the Skidmore, Steve. Limited sample size for most of these young horses, but right. Oxymore, who's the favorite, was ranked number one, followed by Appraise. And then the price horse, though, that Form to Win absolutely liked was the 6-horse Noble Huntsman at 12-1 on the morning line. Top three, no matter if you ran him by average or best. Limited sample size, but he fits. So
well, and that's...
And then,
that's,
you know, you have...
Well, Mitch Friedman, and I took a long look at that horse too. So it doesn't surprise me that that Form to Win likes what Noble Huntsman is offering in terms of weight. I mean, just, you know, you're basing it on, you know, the one performance. I mean, but it's still I thought that horse was interesting. This is a very difficult way to end the sequence with you know, a two-year-old turf sprint where you got horses coming in, you got surface switches, you got horses coming from Kentucky. It's a mysterious group.
Yeah, and the horses, you know, those 5.5 furlong sprints, trip's going to make a difference. So we'll just have to see. And keeping with that theme, going to the Smart and Fancy tomorrow, top three horses on form to win were Miss J. McKay, the 6-horse, the 5-horse, Too Sexy, and then the 3-horse, Robin Sparkles, who formed a win like last time and who ended up wiring the field. So,
oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, not the same price that she was last time, but she absolutely fits. But that's a deep race also, but I'd be interested in those three. And then going out to Del Mar for that Del Mar Oaks, you know, Grand Motion's horse is legitimate favorite. Cairo Memories absolutely fits on form to win. The one horse that fits Steve on form to win I'd be interested in getting involved maybe underneath would be the 8-horse, Graceland Gray. One turf route coming out of sprint, stretched out for the first time last time, but won very easily going a mile and a 16th and 15-1 is the morning line price. So hooking her up underneath, which one of the two favorites could be profitable. I'd be interested in that angle.
For the mile and the 8th, in terms of distance settings, because there are fillies in there that are, you know, going to make that distance for the first time, and some stretching out from a mile. What? How do you do the setting for that?
Yeah, I take a look. I like to look for 9 furlongs. I like to look at 9 to 10 if I've got enough data sets. But most of these horses haven't gone any further than 9. So I just set it at 8.5 to 9. I mean, it is a big jump from 8 to 9. Not saying it can't be done, but I need to have at least 1 to 2 starts. As the things that I look for. So 9 furlongs on the turf, I'll go 8.5 to 9 at Del Mar.
How, what kind of feedback are we getting here in the early, you know, what, about a week, 2 weeks, people starting to integrate on AmWager and right into the interface?
Yeah, it's been great, Steve. We've more than half our users or our AmWager clients have been using it. It's 70% now is on mobile, which is great because, the app absolutely works on your desktop, but, the power is having all the past performance and all the information on your phone as well. And you can easily manipulate the data. So the feedback we've got is great. We've done very little to no marketing. We'll start that project next week. So we're excited. A lot more things coming out. It's been great. Had a couple of friends reach out that had a good week last week using it. So I just encourage people to keep trying it out. And there's a lot of information on the new website, too. There's tutorials. There's a step-by-step screen, like a screen grab, screen pictures that we've kind of explained everything. A good outline of the app is on the new formtowin.com website. You can also check out, Steve. And then I looked at a couple of obscure races, Steve.
okay.
Like the St. Louis Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rattle and Roll fits, absolutely. But Chilino, the 7-horse at 8-1, as well as Brigadier General, the 2-horse at 8-1. Those horses were in the mix, so I'd be interested in maybe playing some exactus with those two. A race up at Woodbine tomorrow, the Soaring Free. Once again, lightly raced horses, but I went looking for a price. I landed on the 7. Philip, my dear, at 6-1 on the morning line for trainer Kevin Attard, Silent Name Colt, out of the City Zip Mayor. Hoping that price stands up. I'm interested in that horse. And then I know you mentioned the Century Mile races for this weekend. Looked at those quickly too, Steve. And then the Century Mile Handicap. Formed to win like the number 7 parking permit at 10-1. The 6 Greek Geek at 4-1. And then Departure, the 4-horse at 5-1. So those are some decent prices. And then the Canadian Derby, the 8-horse Soaring for the Sun was interesting. as well as the 12 horse is a little bit of a private or a little bit of a price Regal Riot at 8-1, and then of course one of the favorite Red Knobs, the number 2 horse at 3-1. All those fit. So yeah, kind of searching for prices.
You did. You found you absolutely found some obscurities. I love it.
Yeah, I mean the great thing, Steve, like we've talked about, is you can do it relatively quickly. So
exactly.
once you get a hold of the app, you know exactly what you're looking for, and just plug it in. And I mean the horses run. You know, the great thing about this product is it transfers to whatever track, dirt, turf, synthetic, even the international with Hong Kong. So yeah, it's a good equalizer, Steve.
Amwager.com and Form to Win. A lot of you have been listening, you know, for now an extended period, all the work that's gone in, and we're really ready to throw the switch and get you integrated into it. So play around if you haven't yet, and it literally can handicap a race in seconds. A couple of slide bar changes and distance and how much, you know, what you put into it, and then the algorithms give you a ranking, and it very, very quickly will become proficient at it. Popo, I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. We'll have a big Travers preview next week.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
I appreciate it. Popo Morales, everybody. He'll also probably do, you know, some of the snapshots, and we'll circulate those. Going to send you out into the race day. The thoughts on Saratoga are up, and looking forward to a fun weekend. Should be great. And I want to thank Dave Grenick and Dick Powell, Scully and Priv and Ron Gierkink, Hammer, Eric Johnston, Penn National. Congratulations on their 50th anniversary. And Popo, Form to Win, Amwager. I want to thank Case for a great week. We'll come, may come to you from the racetrack Monday. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe. Either way, we'll be with you on Monday, Sirius XM at the races. Good luck, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000.